In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in my heart. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, Lord Jesus, because you are the worthy Lamb of God. We praise you as the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. And we ask today that your anointing would be upon us as you, as these people have clicked on today, turned in to hear the word of God, to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Listen now. You need to know that Christianity is not a 100-yard dash, okay? It's a triathlon. Oh, yeah. When we are following Jesus, I'm going to tell you, it is a triathlon. It's an endurance contest sometimes. You know, things are not easy because you have everything against you. The world is going one way, we're going the other. The devil's at you. And then your own weaknesses and your own sinfulness and mine too, okay? So it's a triathlon. It's always, 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 always that way. And you've got to endure. You've got to endure. It's an endurance experience. It's not quitting and it's not compromising. So we're going to look at Hebrews 12, verse 3. And we're going to look at what happens when we are being tried. What happens when we are being, everything's coming at us. What happens when we feel like we want to quit? What happens? This is what it says. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Jesus, who endured contradiction. We put him to the cross. We nailed him there. He took it from us. Consider the crucified. Consider the pain he endured. Consider that he was absorbing all of the sin of the humanity, you, yours and mine. Consider him. Consider the crucified. Yes, if you are going through trial right now, consider the cross. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the nails, not only the thorns, but the anguish of his heart that he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The anguish, the anguish, the anguish of his heart. Consider him as you're going through this endurance experience. Consider him. Look to him. Turn your eyes upon the crucified. Turn your eye. You know, this is reality. This is what the Bible says. This is not what I say. That's why, you know why people say, you know, why do you have Jesus on the cross? Because he's not there anymore. Consider him. Consider him who endured things like this from sinners. Consider him. Consider him. Look to him. I came among you, Corinthian community, St. Paul said, and I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Consider him. Rather than throw in the rag, you know,
You know, I'm going to pick up my marbles and leave. You know what? That's what a baby does. That's what a baby does. Anybody can do that. Anybody can pick up their marbles and quit. Anybody can do that. I'm not telling you I've not been tempted. I'm not telling you I've not been tempted. But anybody can pick up their marbles and do their own thing. Anybody can do that. And you know what? You're not anybody, because anyone in Christ Jesus is the new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I don't feel like a new creation. I don't care how you feel. You are a new creation because he says so. You say you believe the Bible. Give me a break. When you're feeling like a penny waiting for change, start believing the Bible. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Despite your feelings, despite my feelings, consider him. Consider him. This is what it's all about. See, it was never about you, and it was never about me. You know, this is what we think. You know, we live in the I generation. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? Jesus. Not you. Not me. Not me. Not you. But this is the generation, you know. This is the generation that thinks about self all the time. This is the generation that cares about me. It's all about me. I thought it's not about me. I thought it's about him. But I've believed the word of God, and guess what's happened? My life is in a shambles. Consider him. Consider Jesus. Consider the cross. Consider his love for you. Look into his eyes and consider him as he's looking down from the cross and he says, I thirst. And he was thirsting for more than water. He was thirsting for you. He was thirsting for me. I thirst. He's thirsting for souls. He's thirsting for the person who snapped me on today. He's thirsting for the people who don't even believe in him, but they snapped me on anyway. And I'm telling you, it was done out of grace. Consider Jesus. Consider him who loves you unto death and beyond the grave. That's what the scripture says. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint-minded. You have not yet resisted unto the shedding of your blood. Not yet. I'll tell you what was happening in this Hebrew community. This is Paul's letter to the Hebrews, or whoever wrote it. Makes no difference who wrote it. It's Bible. The Jewish people were being persecuted. They were being persecuted by their own. And they were remembering the glory of the temple, the glory of the high priest, the glory of the ram's horn, and the glory of all the feasts that they celebrated. The glory, oh, the glory was so beautiful. And what do they have? Bread and wine. They become the body and blood of Jesus. By grace. What do they have? There's no glory. There's no beauty. There's a crucified, risen Lord. There's nothing else. There's a broken people called the church who are becoming faint-hearted because of persecution, because people hate them, because they say, you're turncoats, you've left Judaism, you've become part of the way, we hate you. Consider him. Oh, consider him. Consider Jesus, who was crucified, died, buried, rose from the dead. Oh, I understand. I do understand. You see, I'm not like those other preachers that say, you know, you shouldn't be feeling this way. This is the way you feel, okay? That's the way you are. That's the way you feel. And you know what? God can deal with it. He's a big God. He's a big God. If he can open the sea, he can deal with your feelings. Honest. He knows how to deal with your feelings. You could be honest with him. You can tell him anything you want to tell him. But then you consider Jesus. Then you look to the crucified. Then you say, I'm going to endure by the grace of God. Then you say, no matter what, I'm going to take the next step. Even if I can't think of three steps, I'm going to take a half a step. I'm going to continue to walk in faith just for today. Just for today. Keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation and our faith. Keeping your eyes fixed upon, consider him crucified. Crucified. Look to the crucified. How many people have fallen off because, you know what, they thought that Christianity was a free ride. It was a free ride. You know, you listen to some of these evangelists, everybody's rich. Well, let me tell you, I am rich. I'm rich in the presence of God that he thinks I'm something. I'm rich. I'm rich that he gives me the grace to speak to you every day. I'm rich. I'm rich because I've got people calling me in the morning, waking me up. I'm rich. They're not calling other people. They're calling me. I'm rich. And you know what? I've learned how to give. God has taught me how to give, my Lord. He has taught. If I told you what I've given in the last month, you wouldn't even believe it. But you know what? None of your business. I'm rich. I am rich. And my wealth is in him. I've got nothing else. What else do I have? Come on, give me a break. Give me a break. What else do I have? Let's you know, just look at it, okay? Let's just look at it. Let's look at it from the world standard, okay, the world view, which I think is gross anyway. You know, I'm not into the world. The world, you know, is the only place for me to not compromise, for me to preach the gospel. So that's the world to me, you know. I want nothing to do with the world. I don't need the glitter of the world. I don't need it. Honest, I don't need. What's the world going to give me? What can the world give me? Absolutely nothing. You know, you come to that, you know. You come to that, that the world has nothing to offer to me, only a place to bring Jesus. So just think about me, okay? I've been ordained 31 years this September by the grace of God. I'm way overweight. I've got no children, at least physical children. I don't have the status of a doctor or a lawyer. No. The world would say, oh, stupid, you've wasted your life. You've wasted your life. And you know what? That's what the devil tells people who've given their life to Jesus. You've wasted your life. I've not wasted my life. I'd do it again. I'd do it again. You know why? Because I'd do it again. Because of him. Because of him. So I have no status in the world. You know what? It's fine. I don't need it. I don't need it, honest. I don't need it. And neither do you. If you have status in heaven, you've got something. If you've got status in the heart of Christ, you've got something. If you've got status in the Heavenly Father's life, you've got something. Everything else, what else does it matter? Everything else rusts or corrodes or passes away. Everything else does. But, you know, as I say, you know, you watch these evangelists, you know, and even Mother Angelica's group, they're always panning to the audience that looks so good. You know what? When you have drug addicts coming to you and drunks coming to you, I'm going to tell you my only solution is Jesus Christ. My only solution is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. It's a real mess now. He can take your mess and transform it through the cross. Consider him. I met a man yesterday. I didn't know him. He came to our Mass yesterday at 11 o'clock Mass. I don't know why you don't come to our 11 o'clock Mass. It's really, really a celebration. And it's worship, and it's glorious. It's every Sunday. I don't know why you don't come. I don't know why you don't come. You know, it's worth traveling. I used to travel when I was a lay person. I'd travel where there was life. Because you know what? Life is what I needed. I just didn't stay where I was. But you were a lot younger. Give me a break. Give me a break. You were younger. When you want something, you go after it. But this man came to me and said, you know, my life was all about me. And he told me the stuff he was into. He said, and the Lord came to me. Changed my whole life. My Lord. Oh, yeah. Changed my whole life. And, you know, we didn't talk long because there were other people that wanted to talk to me. But if I asked him, you know, have you had trials? I know he'd say yes. Have you experienced things that, you know what, are painful and God seems to be far away? I'm sure he'd say yes. But you know what? God is not far away. Jesus is not far away. Consider him. And it's time to endure. It's time to continue. It's not time to quit. As I said, it's the easiest thing in the world to quit. On my refrigerator, someone got me a new button. I'd stop eating chocolate, but I'm no quitter. I'm no quitter. Not going to quit. No matter what happens, by the grace of God. But Lord, please be merciful to me because you know how weak I am. Please. Not going to quit. Are you going to quit? Where are you going to go? Come on. What do you have? Consider him who loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Consider him. Who has a plan for your life, even though right now the doors are closed. Consider him who is the door, and he opens and he closes. Consider him. Consider him who will never leave you nor forsake you. Consider him who's closer to you than a brother. Consider him. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to us unto children? My son, despise not the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked by the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastises. He scourges every son whom he receives. Even if he's not chastising you, and you're experiencing the chastisement of other people that he's allowed, consider him. On WEZE today, I spoke about the cloud of witnesses in chapter 12 of Hebrews, that we are surrounded. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. Oh, that's a word that in 2010 is not a very good word. Run with patience the race that is set before us, the triathlon that is set before us, the triathlon that is set before us. Let us run with patience, keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Consider him. That's the next line. Consider the crucified. Keep your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon him.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away, and he will not pass away. Consider him. What else can I tell you? I'll just say this, that whatever you're going through, whatever you're enduring, as you consider him, he will turn it to the good. Do not look back, but keep your eyes fixed upon him, the crucified one. You have not yet endured suffering unto death and unto shedding your blood. Not yet. Not yet. The author to the Hebrews was telling the Christian community who were Jews, my friends, things are really tough. And we don't have the outward show as the Jewish brothers do, and we're still Jewish. We only have a crucified Lord. We only have a Lord who's crucified and who sits at the right hand of the Father as the risen Lord, as the ascended Lord, praying for us. Oh, but we have miracles and signs and wonders, but when you're being persecuted, even those don't do any good to you, because you start looking back at what you had before, and things were a lot easier when you just sat in the pew. Things were a lot easier before you took up the cross and you took up his word to you, that the one who follows me will have life, and he will go about bringing life to other people. And you've been betrayed. You've been laughed at. Consider him. You've been rejected, scorned. Consider him. Yeah, consider him. And it'll all turn out honest. Honest, as you keep your eyes fixed upon him, it'll all turn out. And I'm not telling you that you will not go through more pain. I'd lie to you. You see, I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to lie to you. Listen. One of my characteristics is, you know, I've always looked, to the authorities to give me something, you know, some authority that would tap me on the shoulder and give me something, you know. But you know what? I'll never get it. The only authority I'll get it from is the authority. His name is Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's the only one I'm going to get it from. Nobody else. And if I want to plug into that stuff, that I want to be a people pleaser, and I saw these beautiful priests last night. They were called the singing priests, and they all looked so handsome, and they were dressed to the nines in their black suits. And I heard the devil say, "Look at you, look at how overweight you are, and your collar is open." And you know what? I just changed the channel. That's what I did. I changed the channel. I said, I'm not going, you know what? God works through them. Let him work through me in a different way. I'm changing the channel. I'm not going to be intimidated by the devil tonight before I go to bed. Look at these men. Look how they look. They have all this fame. Look at you. I got the clicker and I changed it. That's it. That's enough. Bless them, Lord. Use them. Touch them. Let them touch many people as they sing, "How great thou art." I sing it too, off key, but I do the best I can. You know what I'm saying? Listen. Consider him. And my last word is, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Because that's the way we get through. And everything works out for the good to those who love him. This is just a basic little thing, but you know what? We need to hear it every day, because we forget, don't we forget? I forget, you forget, we forget. Anyway, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Ask for the gift to keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. The crucified, consider him who endured such for you and for me.
Listen, today at 3:30, we're going to be at the Holy Rosary praising God. 3:30. Today is the first day of summer. And we're going to be praising God today. Hallelujah. We're going to be praising the Lord today at 3:30 to 4:30. You're welcome to come at 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop, Massachusetts. And we're just going to lift up our voices and we're going to lift up our praise unto Him for an hour, getting ready for our conference between the 18th and the 22nd of July. We're going to have this great Revival Glory Conference School. I don't know what it is going to be, but it's going to be heaven coming in because we're going to worship God. That's what we're going to be centered upon, worshiping God. We're going to be centered upon worshiping the Lord, not only hearing speakers. Anybody can speak, okay? I'm speaking all the time. We need to worship as well as hear. We need to worship so that we get the flavor of heaven, the thirst for heaven. Oh, yesterday the response was, my soul thirsts for you like the dry, weary land without water. Tomorrow that's what I'm going to talk about. The thirst for Jesus. The thirst for Jesus. How is your thirst level? Well, come between the 18th and the 22nd of July. This is the number to call, 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. This is replacing my retreat. But I will be at the espousal this Wednesday. I will be at the espousal this Wednesday. That's the 23rd of June. I will be there by the grace of the living God. I will be there. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And will I tell you about Jimmy the Roofer again? Come on. Do you need a roof? Because it's going to be blowing with thunderstorms, and he'll do it, and he'll do the best job. His number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. Consider him. Look to him. He is the Lord. He is God. He loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Consider him. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.